Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
Maybe you're a servant living in the thing that God has called you to, but yet, boy, I haven't really lived up to my calling. I haven't been as diligent as I should have been. I haven't been, you know, as devoted to this wonderful, privileged thing that God has, you know, allowed me to be part of. Again, what do we do with that? What's God's heart? What would he say to us? Well, listen, there's grace. God's grace is there to cover them.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Ephesians. Join us as Pastor Brian begins his teaching on Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 2, in a message titled, Grace and Peace. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Let me read them to you. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is the introduction to the epistle, obviously. It's the greeting that Paul gives to the people there in Ephesus. It's a very similar greeting to what we find throughout the other epistles here in the New Testament. And in these couple of verses, you know, the temptation is to just read over them and move on. And yet, you know, actually, if we stop to ponder a bit, we're going to find that there's more here in these first few verses than maybe initially meets the eye. There's something in here for us today. I believe there's a specific word the Lord has for us today. So we're just going to look at these couple of verses here, and beginning with the author himself. Beginning with Paul as he introduces himself. Now, let's consider for just a moment the background of this man who wrote this epistle. He tells us about himself in various places throughout his writings. Luke tells us about Paul in his history of the early church, the book of Acts. In the 22nd chapter of the book of Acts, in the third verse, Paul is... he's speaking to this large crowd of people. It's actually a lynch mob. They're trying to kill him. He's rescued by the Romans. He's concerned that there's a misunderstanding. They're Jews. He's a Jew. So this is what he says. Gives us a little background as to who he was. He said to them, he said, I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city, Jerusalem, at the feet of Gamaliel. Gamaliel was a very famous rabbinical instructor. He says, taught according to the strictness of our father's law and was zealous toward God. So these are some of the things that we learn about this man. He was a Jew, obviously. He was born in Cilicia, which was one of the great cities in the empire, but he was brought up there in Jerusalem. To the Philippians, sometime later, he wrote of his past and he said this. He said, I was circumcised on the eighth day. That, of course, was commanded in the scriptures. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Concerning the law, he says he was a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. So here's a man who was a Pharisee. If you've read through the Gospels, you will remember that the Pharisees were the most fierce opponents of Jesus. And so here's a man who says in his past, he was part of that group of people. He was a Pharisee, and he describes his zeal. He persecuted the church, he said. In Acts 26, verses 9 through 11, Paul is later speaking to King Agrippa, and he gives us a little more insight into what he said to the Philippians. He said, I indeed myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison. having received authority from the chief priest, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. This is the background of this guy, Paul, who is now about to write a letter concerning the grace of God. And of course, he could write it with authority because he was a man who experienced it. He goes on in his conversation with Agrippa, or his defense before Agrippa, to tell what happened to him. So he said this, while thus occupied on my way to Damascus, in other words, he said, I was journeying there with authority and commission from the chief priest to apprehend those there. He says, but at midday, O king, along the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus. Rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness. So this is the history that Paul rehearses concerning himself before King Agrippa. He then would later write to Timothy these words, sort of expounding upon that. He said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violently arrogant man. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. For this reason, I obtained mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who were going to believe on him for everlasting life. This man is the author of half of the New Testament. So, you know, it kind of gives us a little bit of a different perspective, doesn't it, when we realize the background of Paul. And as I said, Paul is the apostle of grace. He's the one who expounds the grace of God. And he could do it because he was a recipient of this magnificent grace of God. It transformed his life. It changed him radically. So that's the background on this man who is the human author of the letter, Paul. And then he says, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. So he's an apostle. He's an apostle by God's will. God had appointed him to this. And then these words, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. Paul begins every one of his letters with this same type of a greeting, grace and peace to you. In a couple of them, he adds mercy. But in every one of them, grace and peace to you, and always from God the Father, always from the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's worded a little bit differently, but that's the point that he's making. But in every one of his epistles, you find this there. Now, you find it in other places in the New Testament letters as well. Paul didn't write all of the letters in the New Testament. There were other authors. Of course, there was Peter, there was John, there was James. And you find it in their writings as well. But Paul always opens his letters with grace and peace. Now, some would say that he does so because this was in keeping with the way that you wrote letters in those days. This is just part of the way it was done. You always included in that greeting the grace and the peace. Grace was the typical Greek greeting. The Greek word is charis. We translate it grace. And the Greeks would greet one another with charis. And then the Jews, their typical greeting was, and still is today, shalom, which is peace. And so there are those who would say that, you know, well, this is just, you know, in keeping with the way you would write a letter at the time. And I do think that that is true, but I don't think that really tells us enough about what's going on here. Because I want you to notice something. The grace and the peace is not from Paul. He's not saying grace and peace to you from me. He's saying grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, this is more than just the typical greeting. This is something beyond that. This is a greeting from God himself. And so here, Paul is speaking to them. The very onset of the letter, he's speaking to them on behalf of God, and he's pronouncing a blessing upon them. It's the blessing of grace and peace. And that's what I want to emphasize to us today. And that's what I want to emphasize as we really now are launching into the contents of the epistle. It all starts with the grace of God and the peace of God. And as I pointed out in a previous study, so much of this letter focuses on this grace that we're initially greeted with. As we go into this first chapter and through the second chapter and all the way through the third chapter, it's just grace upon grace upon grace. God's just pouring out his grace upon us. Because the reality is, unless I'm really grounded in the grace of God, unless I really get rooted in that, I'm never going to be able to become all that I potentially can be. It's all foundation. The foundation of it is the grace of God. And everything I do as a Christian, it needs to be done from that foundation, from that base. And so that's why there's such an emphasis on it. That's why the focus is there. And that's why these are the first words of God to us in the epistle. They are words of grace and peace. The two things we need the most. We need these two things. We need God's grace. What is God's grace? Well, we will define this over and over again as we go on. But again, let's remember, God's grace is God's favor, God's blessing. But here's the important part. It's unearned. It's undeserved. It's unmerited. Grace is something you don't work for. It's something you don't deserve. It's something that you can't earn. It's just there because of who God is. That's the thing that we've got to know. Because our default mode is always back to performance. It's always back to works. Even those of us who know grace, even those of us who teach grace, there's just something in our constitution as people that we can't help, for the most part, but falling back on works and performance as the basis of expectation of God's favor or blessing on our lives. But that's not the way it works. And we've got to begin to understand this. So we need God's grace and we need God's peace. We need to know that there's peace between us. We need to know that we're not at war with God and that he's not waging war against us. You know, some people are afraid to even come in a church because they've messed up so badly. Some people have sinned and, you know, backslidden perhaps, and they can't come back to a church because they just feel like, you know, if I go into the church, I'll just, you know, that's where God will meet me and judge me. But you know what happens when you walk in a place where the Spirit of God is present? You know what God would say to you as you're thinking about possibly making your way back into fellowship with him, if that's even possible? You know what his word to you would be? It would be grace and peace. Be like, welcome, grace and peace. And you know, whether it's through sickness or it's just through weakness or whatever the case, when we fail to be faithful, God's grace is still there. It doesn't leave. If it did, it wouldn't be grace. That's the whole point. See, grace is there not because you earned it. It's there not because you deserve it. It's not there as a reward. It's there because that's the heart of God. He has grace for us. So maybe you didn't do those things that you had planned to do. Or on the other hand, maybe you did things that you shouldn't have done. You know you shouldn't have done them. Maybe you said things that you shouldn't have said, thought things you shouldn't have thought, did things, went places, whatever the case. And here you are. What's God's word toward you? What's his attitude in relation to all that? His attitude is grace. It's one of, come on, let's go. Get up. Let's dust you off. Let's get you going again. That's the heart of God. So, whatever the case might be. Now, perhaps you are like Paul was. Remember, he was a servant. He was an apostle by the will of God. Maybe you're a servant living in the thing that God has called you to. But yet, likewise with yourself, you realize that, you know, I haven't really lived up to my calling recently. I haven't been as diligent as I should have been. I haven't been as disciplined. I haven't been as serious. I haven't been as committed. I haven't been, you know, as devoted to this wonderful privileged thing that God has, you know, allowed me to be part of. Again, what do we do with that? What's God's heart? What would he say to us? Well, listen, there's grace. God's grace is there to cover that. I look back over 30 years plus of being in a position of serving God in, you know, in a pastoral role, leading a church and things like that. And, you know, I look back and I think, Lord, it is an absolute, it is just a monument to grace the way you have allowed me to just keep going in my service to you. You know, it's not anything other than that. It's simply that. I look back at times where, you know, I was so flaky in my younger years. I was so irresponsible. I was, you know, pastoring a church and I was supposed to be doing this and that. And, you know, there are times I just out, you know, I was out surfing. I should have been at the church. I should have been in the office. I should have been there, you know, helping people and doing things that pastors do, but I'm surfing. And I know that I should have been out of the water an hour and a half ago, but I just can't get that one final wave. And so I'm out there, I'm totally condemned and I'm feeling miserable. And, you know, sometimes it was that, or sometimes it was like, you know, I should be home with my wife and the kids. I should be a better dad. I should be all of these things. But, you know, here I'm doing, you know, all of that to say, God's blessing and favor on my life, I'll just tell you straight up, I didn't earn it. It's God's grace. That's the way he works. He pours out his grace upon us. He meets us with that. So, you know, wherever you are, whatever place you're at today, this is what you need to know. God's word, whatever else it might be, his first word to you is grace. His words to you are grace and peace. And now even if you are the chief of sinners, as was Paul on the road to Damascus, maybe you're on a road similar to what Paul was on. It was the wrong road. He was going down a sinful path. He was intending harm to people. And how did God meet him on the road to Damascus? What did he meet him with? He didn't meet him with wrath. Now, you would think if there was anybody that should have been met with the wrath of God, it would have been this guy, right? Do you think there were any Christians at the time that were thinking about this man who was a known persecutor? He was the one who was breathing out, you know, death threats against the disciples of the Lord. He was stirring up everything. Do you think there was anybody that was saying, oh, Lord, save this man, Paul? Do you think there was anybody that was expecting him to turn around like he did? I personally don't think there was. I think if there were prayers going out for Saul of Tarsus, it was, Lord, kill him and kill him now. Lord, strike him dead. Get rid of this guy. He's a nuisance. He's a pestilence. Lord, look what he's doing to your church. Wipe him out. Pour out your wrath on him. You know, it's just like we would, it's a similar thing to, you know, what we would think about today. You know, there are people today that are hostile toward the faith, and they're on a mission to attack the church and Christians in our current cultural situation. There, there truly is, coming from Hollywood, coming from much of the media, coming from elements of the government, there is a war against Christianity. And when we think about those who are leading the charge, what are we thinking about? Oh, Lord, bless those guys. No, we're thinking, Lord, smite them. Lord, deal with them. Wipe those sinners out. Pour your wrath on them. That's the kind of person Paul was. He was a persecutor. He says he was a violently arrogant man. But how did Jesus meet him on the road to Damascus? He met him with grace. He met him with grace. That's how God meets us. That's where he meets you today. Even if you're on a road similar to the Damascus road, God stands in the middle of that road today and he says, grace and peace to you. Now you see, that grace is what takes and changes a life. That's how it happens. It's through the grace of God as we just simply accept it, as we let it come to us. That's how the transformation results. And so today, this is the word. This is where it all starts. This is God's word to us wherever we're at. If we are God's people today, walking in favor with him, serving him, even though we might be flaky at times or unfaithful or whatever, you know, his word to us is grace and peace. His blessings upon us. And we just need to rest in that. We just need to trust in that. We need to know that's the heart of God for us today. And if you're running from God, if you're rebelling against God, the grace of God is right there to receive you. And the great thing is this, God's grace never leaves us where it finds us. It always takes us and makes us the people that we are supposed to be. And that's what happened with this guy. And that's why the man who was violently arrogant and destroying the church, that's why he's now the author of half of the New Testament. And he spends the rest of his life going around the world proclaiming this gospel of Jesus Christ that saved a wretch like him. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saves a wretch like me. I once was lost, now I'm found, was blind, now I see. Saul of Tarsus easily could have written that song because that was his story. That's my story. That's your story. That's our story. That's the story of anybody who's saved. It's God's grace. But it's not just God's grace that saves us. It's God's grace that greets you every single morning when you get out of bed. God's right there. The Bible tells us his mercies are new every morning. And you know what? That applies to his grace as well. His grace and peace are right there. That's his word to us today and every day.
And now let's join Pastor Brian and Cheryl in the studio as they share about this month's resource. It's a book titled Holy Sexuality and the Gospel by Christopher Ewan.
So, Brian, I still remember how dynamic Christopher Ewan was when he came and spoke at our church with his mom and his father. And what a testimony he has.
Yes, an amazing testimony. Christopher is a professor at Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. And Christopher comes out of the LGBT world, came to Christ in prison for drug dealing, and has written a few books, but his most recent book is called Holy Sexuality and the Gospel. And he does just a fantastic job of showing what the Bible has to say about sexuality. There's all kinds of opinions in the culture today about sex, and he brings it down to God's will is not primarily heterosexuality. God's will is holy sexuality. And he shows just exactly what that looks like. So it's a fantastic book, and I want to recommend it to all of our listeners.
Again, this month's resource is a book titled Holy Sexuality and the Gospel by Christopher Ewan. You can order the book Holy Sexuality and the Gospel by going to our website, brianbrodison.uk. Scroll down until you see the photo of it, and then click on the donate button. When you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you the book, Holy Sexuality in the Gospel by Christopher Ewan, to help you develop a biblical perspective of sexuality. It's our way of saying thank you for your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you by dialing 0-208-466-5365 or by writing us at Back to Basics Radio, P.O. Box 647, Bromley, Kent, BR14WQ. We'll continue next time with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Ephesians. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.